You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Nationalities of all tribes and tongues, welcome to the program, Rick Adams, uncensored, only on RBN. And remember, this is the Republic Broadcasting Network. Spread the word and get it out as much and as often as you can. Because I understand, and I find it a marvel that quite a number of people I didn't think were listening to RBN. Different times of the day, of the week, and of the weekend when we're on. And that's wonderful because they're turning off so much of the pablum and so much of the mainstream, lamestream malarkey that's all over the airwaves on normal, as I say, normal programming stations. And that's wonderful. So I'm thankful to God for that, as I am for everything else that we do have. So here we are on November 9th, is it? Can you believe it? Not much time left for Thanksgiving. 2019, is that right? Wow, we're still in 2019. Not much time. It's going by fast, folks. Well, you know, when I think about time, and I think about space, and I think about dimensions of time, I think about Hebrews. You know, I just finished this past week the book of Hebrews, and Paul's wonderful epistles, and just I feel an edification when I read Paul, because, you know, I mean, here's a guy who was one of the greatest, and probably he called himself the chiefest of sinners, come to Christ, come to the Lord, as nobody has. And here he was afflicted in the flesh and wrote so much of the New Testament. Now I'm in James. The Gospel or the Epistle of James. And so in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 12, memory serves correct, yes, pinpointed at Hebrews 12:26. We know that God shook the earth and shakes the earth and is shaking the earth now in these days, these birth pang days, leading up toward that glorious event of Jesus' return. But in Hebrews chapter 12, of course, it reminds us whose voice, the voice of the Lord, shook the earth way back on Mount Sinai. But now he hath promised also, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. The time of the shaking of the heavens. Prophet Haggai, and in Isaiah, you read about the time coming when the heavens and the earth will both collide into a metamorphosis, when he returns with breathtaking, absolutely incredible gyrations all around us that will be as never before, you know? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. Well, in the beginning, we know God created all the heavens, all the earth. And the earth fell into its void nature because of the rebellion that took place by Satan and many of his children. And so we're looking forward now to a time when it will run out. Time will literally cease to be. It will run out. Men will flee into mountains and caves and rocks behind them to hide because they've been deceived all of these years and they've been lied to and they're believing the lie. And that heavenly aura shall be a testimony to the power, the incredible, omnipotent power of the Father in heaven. It's going to be an event like no other event in the history of the world, in the history of this planet. So folks, I look forward to that time. Right now we're seeing birth pangs of the end. We're seeing a lot of stormy activities, and man and his foolishness and his silliness, of course, is contributing all of this to the so-called global warming phenomenon, or the Earth and its climate change happenstance. Well, of course, that's just rubber. It's nonsense. It's just a paper mache. That's all it is. God is in control of everything. And the weather, from Scripture, has always been used by him to effect judgment. So we are being judged now. We're being set up, or a prelude is being created for us to understand what will befall us in the end times. Weather is going to get rough. Rougher than it already is. Storms, earthquakes, mudslides, tornadoes, volcanic eruptions everywhere. These are signs on the earth. And in the heavens, signs also. We see solar signs. We see these eclipses that we've seen, like we did on August 17th, I believe it was, of 2017, eclipse right across Israel, America, across from the West Coast right through to the East Coast, that swath, if you will, of land that was shown by the eclipse, the eclipsing of the sun and the moon. And these are just eminent signs of the new moons and the blood moons and the red moons and all kinds of things, the moon representing darkness and representing satanic activity, darkness upon the earth. But we know that when he comes, and, you know, there's not going to be any more moon, and not going to be any more physical sun. He is the light of the world. There'll be nothing that will be hidden, that is hidden right now. So that is something to look forward to for some. For others, not so nice, I suppose. But again, that's in Hebrews, and, you know, it's a wonderful thing. I am hopefully going to complete the entire New Testament before the very end, and maybe get to start it all over again. Wouldn't that be nice, huh? It sure would. Anyhow, today I have a special program for you because it is the weekend of Armistice Day, and as you know, the armistice that was signed after the war to end all wars, 1918, began this holiday crusade. And now, of course, after many years, it was changed to Veterans Day. And you can see now how the veterans concept has played right into the language of Orwell today, how it is not about peace and signing peace treaties. It is more about armies and wars, wars that destroy the old world order and help to usher in the new world order. And that's really essentially what we're seeing now. We're seeing this reality take place as never, ever before. So, again, it's conditioning people in the mind, young people especially, to do your part. For what? To serve the state. And that means, i.e., serving the government, serving the Imperial Army, and dying and killing others for the sake of old glory. Well, folks, that's the opposite of what Americanism truthfully was established as. As we know, this audience is savvy. Most are probably not. But it is good to know that some have studied history, some have looked back on history with not a jaundiced eye, but an open eye and an open mind, because it is an open book. And that dovetails with what I want to bring to you today. I'm going to bring you three video audio links that I hope some of you will find edifying and fascinating, because we're going to have the program to ourselves today, just you and me. And that's it. Art's away this weekend. We'll be back again. Next weekend, we have a special program with Paul Tepeti and his new album. And he's had some problems along the way, you know, in personal issues and so forth. But we'll be talking with him in the first hour next week. Today, I'm going to bring you three clips. The first one has to do with something many of you probably don't even know about. You've all heard of Katyn, the Katyn Forest Massacre. But how many of you have heard of the Vinnytsia Massacre in Russia? That was a massacre, a mass execution of between 9,000 and 11,000 people in the Vinnytsia Massacre, Ukraine, town of Vinnytsia, by the Soviet secret police known as the NKVD. And this was during the Great Purge. This is when Stalin was still in power in the 1930s and 1938, particularly, leading up to the prelude to World War II. So you can already see how Roosevelt's administration was in power, and then Washington had opened the door to aid and trade with the Soviet Red Army, the Soviet Union. Many took advantage of it with diplomatic recognition to Moscow, and that led to the army of the Soviet Red Army as never before, and yet the disarming of the populace so they could be overrun and killed. Well, I'm going to play a clip. I want you to listen to this clip, documented history. I know you can't see the pictures, but listen to the factual basis of the reality of this massacre that took place. Now, it wasn't 6 million, and it wasn't 600 million, but it was enough of the cream of the crop of those who were rebelling against the communist, not Russian, but communist Soviet secret police. Then I'm going to follow up with the treason of the Truman administration. And you're going to hear Senator McCarthy speak before Congress to the press, the media, and the world about this Truman administration and how the communists come to power and had done so through the United States government, infiltrating virtually every aspect of this government, and why his message is so true then as it is today. You know, the Ukraine is in the news now. At the time of these massacres of Ukrainians, the media was protecting Russia, the Russian communist Moscow government. Now, of course, the shoe's on the other foot. So we have to ask ourselves, why is that? Well, who was in control of the media? Who was in control of the war for Russia? The killing of the white Russians. The killing of all of those who were in what would then become the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, to the tune of tens of millions. But we'll find out. And then finally, I'm going to go to the Dan Smoot Report and his program at the time of Mr. Stevenson, Adlai Stevenson, coming to Dallas, Texas, and what all of this represents in history. You want to honor our servicemen and women? I say give them the gift of truth. There is no other gift better than that. No paying homage through rhetorical Vaseline or parades or all kinds of speeches. Give them the truth. This generation, their children, their grandchildren, so they'll know that the truth and fiction are not the same. What we've been fed is fiction. It's time for them to know the truth, because the truth shall set you free. I want to begin this segment right now. We'll go to the break in a few minutes and then come back on Vinnytsia and the massacre that took place there, which dovetails with the massacre at Katyn Forest. So now you'll be able to get a better picture of the rebellion from communism, of the serfs trying to overthrow the yoke of oppression that overtook them, thanks in part to the banks, criminal regime of the Rothschild family and the administration of Roosevelt in particular, then Truman, then Eisenhower. Right now, let's see if we can catch a glimpse of what happened at Venezia in that fateful time of massacre.
These are pictures, not of the Katyn graves, but of other graves discovered in the Ukraine. Mass graves of victims of Soviet terror were not unusual in areas controlled by the Russians during the war. After the discovery of the Katyn graves, the Germans located other mass graves near Vinnytsia in the Ukraine, shown here. There were about 30 graves, containing in all about 4,000 bodies of local inhabitants murdered between 1938 and 1941. These graves, like the Katyn graves, were located in areas that the NKVD had sealed off. After they had exhumed the bodies, the Germans allowed the local inhabitants to search for their relatives. They then arranged for the decent reburial of the bodies. In the autumn of 1943, the Red Army reoccupied the region of Smolensk and the area where the Katyn graves lay. The Soviet authorities immediately set their own propaganda machine to work, reconstructing the crime so as to place the responsibility for the murders onto the Germans. They took a new film of the scene of the crime, and for this purpose, they re-exhumed the bodies and reenacted the scene of an investigation. The ruins of Smolensk, after the Germans had been driven from the city. Photographs of priests of the Orthodox faith, seen here in their ruined churches, are presumably included in the Soviet film, to give the impression that the Soviet authorities encouraged religious practice. During this exhumation, the Soviet authorities brought a group of foreign correspondents to Katyn from Moscow in January of 1944. One of the women in this group is the daughter of Averell Harriman, who was then American ambassador in Moscow. Another member of the group was Lawrence, Moscow correspondent of the New York Times. He described his impressions of the scene in his newspaper a few days after his visit. He mentioned that he observed that the dead Polish officers wore heavy overcoats and winter underwear. Yet, according to the Soviet version, this crime was committed by the Germans in August and September, at a time when the weather in the Smolensk region is still very warm. When he questioned his Soviet guides on this point, he said they appeared confused. The visitors were shown how the Poles were killed. They were shown skulls in which it could be seen clearly that a bullet had been fired into the base of the head. Yet, were the Russians not indicting themselves? This method of execution is well known to be the normal one in Russia.
And now it's time for that break, folks. Very exciting and incredibly awesome footage and commentary. We will return in just about 3 minutes. Stay with me, Rick Adams.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
All right, we're back out to this segment. It's not very long. It gives you a bird's eye view, and then it just cuts off, okay, what happened in Venezia. And let's get right back to that clip now.
When the war was over, the story of the Katyn mass murders became a matter for international justice. At the Nuremberg war crimes trial, some of the evidence was examined, but the court did not refer to it in their verdict. For many years, the Poles have tried to get the case examined by an international court. They are still trying. The German and Russian films, and the portions of evidence that each side collected, are only part of the documentation in this case. The story is completed only by the Polish documentation, and that points decisively to Russian guilt. This additional evidence, so laboriously collected by the Poles, has been submitted to the governments of the Western powers, and it has been published in the form of a book entitled The Katyn Murders in the Light of Documentary Evidence, with a foreword by General Anders.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the clip. Very interesting, again, going back to that era after the Bolshevik Revolution, looking at what had already taken place in the Ukraine, in that revolution and that communist-imposed regime that came to power in such a fashion as we have seen with a veracity and, if you will, a mobility as never before imagined until we saw the next period of the great purges that took place. And most of them took place during and after World War II, including Stalin himself. But that's a story for another time. What's important, I think, to note here is that as we're hearing all about this Ukraine gate business, which is nothing more than a ruse, I've said this repeatedly, and I think most of the people have seen that that's what it is. It's designed not to bring forth truth regarding the proceedings leading up to an impeachment, but it is designed to conceal the truth about how this government and deep state and those other governments of deep state are engaged in an endless constant war for peace, for war for peace, for war for peace, rat race, round and round the mulberry bush. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what it is. You know, the end game is ultimately to bring peace to the earth, a fake peace, the peace of the graveyard, as we've seen since World War I and II. The graveyard is full of peace. There's nobody complaining, no war, no armaments, there's no battle scene, except in reenacted form. But ultimately, it is a peace that only Satan can try to bring, and it's a fake, just like the wars that we're talking about. How many, just think, how many millions of those Ukrainians, that breadbasket of the world in the early teens, in the 20th century, how they were snuffed out, and the Red Army was glorious, and yet not a single student that I'm aware of is being taught any of this, either in high school or at college level. Totally glossed over. But now we're hearing all about Trump, and we're hearing all about Pence, and we're hearing all about Smith and Schiff, and we're hearing all about all of the others who are involved in this, from Pelosi to Schumer to everyone who's been named so far. And we're talking about those whose names constantly emerge, whether it's Nunes on the Republican right or any of these other bought and paid for corrupt politicians. And that's exactly what they are, playing a game. It's a dangerous game. It's a game in which all of the parties have sold out America on the altar of internationalism, globalism, and one worldism. And that's what it's all about. So now they don't give a darn about going back in history and settling the score as to who were the ones who helped kill all of those Ukrainians. No, arm the Ukraine. Let's continue to arm them so they'll be a counterbalance to Russia. And let's start this one world warfare scenario all over again. The only ones that benefit from it are the international criminal bankster gangsters. If we can all agree on that, and their emissaries and their, you know, their affiliates in the racist Jewish state. That is what is needed to continue Eretz Israel, Greater Israel, until they've got it all under their heels. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense at all. And when you know, right now, for instance, a good example of this, before we get into the McCarthy clip in the next half hour, is what's going on now with regard to the Israeli press and some of the commentators in their blogs. They're talking about this poor man, this innocent former diplomat, you know, who was involved in supposedly in testifying before a congressional committee on Ukraine, right? And then, of course, is the Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, Alexander Vindman. One man who wrote in his blog on the Times of Israel blogger said, this case is definitely bad for the Jews because it resurrects the old stereotypes, the old disloyalty issues, and that, of course, stokes the fires of anti-Semitism. And that's simply because he's brought before the committee to deal with this bogus issue as to whether or not Mr. Trump had a quid pro quo relationship involving Zelensky, who is now the president of the Ukraine. And it resurrects the old case of Emily Zola, which goes back to 1898. She was the French novelist who just happened to publish, a piece, a letter, actually, titled I Accused. And I'll come back to that after the break and then relate it to what we're going to hear henceforth. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, on this Armistice Day weekend.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. ExtendoVite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in ExtendoVite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on ExtendoVite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get ExtendoVite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I was just commenting on the Emily Zola case, the story I accused, which apparently evolves around her demanding justice for Captain Alfred Dreyfus, a Frenchman of Jewish descent, who was accused at the time by the military of being a German spy and subsequently suffered imprisonment and public humiliation. And so we see, without getting into the end result of that persecution, we see the Holocaust emerging once again over and over and over. And we see that those who are being named on Fox and so forth, Laura Ingraham, for example, apparently has on John Yoo, who, as you probably remember, John Yoo served in the Bush administration, served the beast system as attorney general, who believed in the plenary powers of government. He believed in judicial, not, if you will, subsistence and submissiveness to the Congress, but in fact superiority and executive superiority with regard to setting foreign policy. Now, all of a sudden, he's on the so-called right, the generals are on the left, and, you know, in particular, this general, or rather lieutenant colonel, I'm giving him a real nice elevation here, but anyway, apparently, the complaint is on one particular blog that he's the victim of a witch hunt himself. Lieutenant Colonel Windman, Alexander Windman. And it's definitely bad for the Jews, says a Jewish blogger. Not is it bad for America. Not is it bad for anyone else. Not is it bad for freedom, the cause of liberty and sovereignty. But is it bad for us? And that is why the repugnancy of the Talmud and Talmudic Judaism is so apparent that greater numbers of people now are beginning to react with such repugnance against them as a group, simply because of this attitude. All right? I don't need to get into the circusry of what's going on in Washington this week and the impeachment proceedings. All of that is irrelevant to me. It's a circus, as you know. Many of you have commented on our chat room page, deadlyexperiment.chatango.com. So I'm sure you all agree with me on that. The important things are being overlooked. And most importantly, history has been forgotten. How sad that as I bring you history today, real history is all but gone. It's forgotten. So what I want to do now is to bring you history. As you know, Roosevelt was the president who got America into war through the back door of Pearl Harbor. He slaughtered 2,700 and something men at Pearl Harbor in order to satisfy the sickly ambitions of those who were the overseers of he and Churchill and Stalin at the time. The result, of course, was horrendous for the world, for the United States, for Europe, and for all those in the armed services who suffered death, who suffered loss of limb, whose families were torn apart. None of this is brought out today except on these programs. So I want to go back to a time when Truman had just been exited from office, and thank God up above, the cry went out, the ballyhoo went out. We have a Republican president, Dwight David Eisenhower, a great hero, a bastion of freedom and liberty and truth, finally in the White House because of the scandals of the Truman administration, particularly the firing of General Douglas MacArthur. Well, all of that was more pulp fiction, my friends. More pulp fiction indeed. And who better to expose the whole charade but Senator McCarthy before the committee? And his address broadcast at the time in response to some charges that were brought against him by ex-President Truman in 1953. So let us begin that McCarthy clip and pay close attention, because his words, many of them were chosen quite well, I believe all of them, and quite accurate to say the least. Let's hear it.
From New York City, you're about to hear an address by Joseph R. McCarthy, United States Senator from Wisconsin, and Chairman of the United States Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. Senator McCarthy.
Good evening, fellow Americans. Last Monday night, a former president of the United States, while attempting to explain away his promotion of a communist spy, made a completely untruthful attack upon me. Tonight I shall spend but very little time on Harry Truman. He is of no more importance than any other defeated politician. Trumanism, however, becomes an issue insofar as it is embraced by the Democrat Party. Now, the other night, Truman defined what he called McCarthyism. The definition was identical, word for word, comma for comma, with the definition adopted by the Communist Daily Worker, which originated the term McCarthyism. And yesterday the National Committee of the Communist Party issued a 1,000-word statement condemning Attorney General Brownell and lauding Truman for his attack upon me. This statement by the Communist Party was signed by William Z. Foster, National Chairman of the Communist Party, Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, and Pettus Perry, all three of whom have been indicted for communist conspiracy against this country. I am sure they will not applaud my speech tonight. Trumanism can perhaps best be defined as the placing of your political party above the interests of the country, regardless of how much the country is damaged thereby. It is the theory that no matter how great the wrong, it is right if it helps your political party. Trumanism also, in effect, says to the head of a household, if you catch a criminal looting your safe, kidnapping your children, and attacking your wife, do not dare turn the spotlight on him. Do not get rough with him. Do not call the police, because if you do, the criminal will have you arrested for disturbing the peace. Now, as to Mr. Truman's speech the other night, let us very briefly examine the unusual series of statements made by him explaining his promotion and retention of a communist spy. Statement number one. After Attorney General Brownell first revealed the fact that Truman had promoted a man known as an espionage agent, the first newspaper report quoted Truman as saying he had never read any of the derogatory material about White. Statement number two. When Truman was confronted with the fact that the FBI report had been placed in his hands, then he was quoted as saying that he fired White as soon as he discovered White was disloyal. Statement number three. Then later, when confronted with the fact that White had not been fired, Truman answered, White was fired by resignation. Now, just what that means, I frankly don't know. Next, Truman was confronted with the letter over his own signature, commending this communist spy in the most glowing terms. And let me quote Truman. Here's what he said. Here's Harry Truman speaking. He says, I am confident, Mr. White, that in your new position, you will add distinction to your already distinguished career. Statement number five. Truman finally came up with the excuse that while he had read the FBI report, which branded White as a spy, that he kept White on and promoted him to a higher job to help the FBI in its investigation of a spy ring. As to this one, I'd like to call upon the testimony of J. Edgar Hoover, a man whose truthfulness has not even been questioned by the Communist Party, believe it or not. On page 136 of the hearings, here's what J. Edgar Hoover says. He says, at no time was the FBI a party to an agreement to promote Harry Dexter White, and at no time did the FBI give its approval to such an agreement. Such an agreement on the part of the FBI would have been inconceivable. Well, there you have it. But after having been caught five times red-handed, Truman comes up with the granddaddy of them all. Here's what he says. He says, oh, but it's all McCarthy's fault. He says, all the fault of McCarthyism. And isn't that nasty McCarthy an awful man? Now, my good friends, there's no reason on earth why this fight to expose and remove communists and traitors from positions of power should be a contest between America's two great political parties. Certainly the millions of loyal American Democrats love America just as much. They hate and despise communist traitors just as much as the Republicans do. Certainly there's no division along party lines among the mothers and fathers and wives of the 140,000 Korean casualties whose miseries have come to them from the trickeries, the betrayals of an administration whose foreign policy was so carefully shaped by the Alger Hisses, the Harry Dexter Whites, the Owen Lattimores, the Dean Achesons, the John Carter Vincents. We should keep in mind that as of tonight, we are engaged in a war which was declared in 1914 by Lenin, repeatedly reaffirmed by Joe Stalin, and approved 2.5 weeks ago by high officials of the Kremlin. It is the communist war against free men. Now, when that first communist declaration of war was made 105 years ago, you could number the active communist leaders on the fingers of both hands. At the time Truman became president, the number of people under communist domination was 180 million. During his term as president, the figure increased from 180 million people to 800 million people. Now, this represents, my good friends, the greatest victory of any brutalitarian dictatorship since time first commenced to run. Why? Is it because communist slavery is more attractive than the clean, fresh air of freedom? Certainly not. Then why? The pattern of communist conquest has been the same in every country over which the Stygian blackness of communist night has descended. Always first, the infiltration of key posts in government by communist traitors, and then the creeping paralysis of fear to speak out and expose the traitors. This fear has been engendered and nurtured not only by the communists, but also by the phony, deluded, fuzzy-minded liberals, in whose book it is a mortal sin ever to expose or criticize a communist. Of course, it's perfectly proper for a communist to scream lies and vituperation at anyone who hurts the communist cause. Thus, my good friends, the picture has been in Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Romania, and every other nation taken over by the Black Death of communism. Thus, the picture has been in our country also. In connection with communist infiltration of our government, let me give you, if I may, very briefly, another case in which Truman intervened in behalf of a communist agent. On April 13, 1950, George Shaw Wheeler, who had been working for the United States government in Europe, deserted to the communist cause. At that time, he denounced what he called, and I quote, the Gestapo methods of the United States. He stated that he was going to stand proudly with the Soviet regime. Wheeler then disappeared behind the Iron Curtain. Now, what does Truman have to do with this? As early as 1944, the Civil Service Commission, Loyalty Board, had found Wheeler disloyal because of communist and espionage activity. Listen to these dates, if you will. On October 4, 1944, Harry Truman, candidate for vice president, wrote a three-page letter to the Civil Service Commission denouncing the commission in the strongest language for having ordered the dismissal of Wheeler. That is in 1944. In October of 1945, Harry Truman was president. The Civil Service Commission then reversed itself and ordered Wheeler reinstated. And of course, as you know, Wheeler is now behind the Iron Curtain, having admitted that he was an espionage agent. Now, add to this the picture of Glasser, Silvermaster, Ullman, Kaplan, and all the rest named in FBI reports as communists. Communists who are kept in high positions of power with access to vital secrets by the Truman administration, and you have some small portion of the sordid picture. My fellow Americans, there's nothing accidental about this picture. It is a pattern of deliberate communist infiltration. Impossible, you say? Yes. Unbelievable, yes. But there you have it. It is all a matter of cold record. And the most amazing and disturbing thing about this incredibly unbelievable picture is that as the danger to this nation is slowly and laboriously exposed, instead of an admission of guilt or stupidity, cheap politicians from coast to coast join the chorus of the communist daily worker and shout, "Oh, isn't this McCarthyism an awful thing? Isn't it terrible to dig out these communists?" Now, how many American young men have died, and how many will die because of stupidity, blindness, and treason, no one will ever know. But what answer do we get when it is exposed? The leader of the Democrat Party, Harry Truman, in the most intemperate language, condemns Attorney General Brownell for giving the American people the fact. He then, of course, proceeds to damn McCarthy, drawing very heavily upon his repertoire of dirty names because I took some part in the exposure of the communist infiltration of his administration. I would not be concerned about what a discredited politician has to say, except that his leadership on the communist issue is being followed by so many Democrats. I would like to briefly review some of the work of our committee. This may furnish a key to the bitterness of the Truman Democrats, and I emphasize Truman Democrats, toward my work, which they prefer to call McCarthyism. Now for a glance at a few excerpts from the testimony before our committee. On November 19, 1953, we were investigating communist infiltration and potential espionage and sabotage.
All right, folks. We'll come back to Joe and you in just a few moments, and we'll do that as soon as the break commences and finishes. Stay tuned. Rick Adams Uncensored here on RBN.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Whatever needs to be done, we gotta do ourselves. All right, folks, we're back to the rest of this clip that I'm playing today with Senator McCarthy naming names, and you'll find one of them, of course, is an heir to the Rothschilds involved heavily in communist activity overseas. Okay, let's get back to it.
And the huge General Electric plants. Defense officials freely stated that if enemy agents were to sabotage the General Electric facilities, it would deal a crippling blow to our defense attempts. The first witness before the committee, Henry Archdeacon. The question, Mr. Archdeacon, were you engaged in espionage over the past few weeks? This question was asked less than a week ago. Answer, I decline to answer that question on the basis that it might tend to incriminate me. Then I asked him, as a matter of fact, you have been giving to the Communist Party complete detailed information on everything going on at the General Electric plants, is that correct? Answer, I decline to answer on the basis of the Fifth Amendment. Question, just one further question. If we were to have a war with Communist Russia, and if the Communist Party ordered you to sabotage, to blow up the facilities at General Electric, this defense plant, would you disobey that order of the Communist Party? Listen to this answer. I decline to answer that question on the ground that my answer might tend to incriminate me. Well, this morning, less than 12 hours ago, a witness, Joseph Levitsky, appeared before our committee. Levitsky had until very recently been working in the telecommunications.
A headshot on Saturday.
Handling secret radar work dealing with the defense of this nation. He refused under the Fifth Amendment, on the grounds of self-incrimination, to tell whether, during the last 30 days, he had been engaged in a conspiracy to commit espionage, and whether during July of this year, he had attempted to get people from the Evans Signal Corps Laboratory to commit espionage. A few months ago, we were investigating espionage in the government printing office, which handles secret material for every department of government. That includes Army, Navy, the Air Corps, Secret Service, Atomic Energy, on down the line. One of the witnesses before the committee was Edward Rothschild. The FBI had given the Truman administration detailed reports upon him and his wife. Reports to the effect that they were both communists, that she was an important officer in the Communist Party, that communist meetings were held in their homes, and that he had been engaged in stealing government secrets, including secret codes from the printing office. He was before our committee on August 10 of this year. Now let me quote a few questions and answers, if I may. Question, is it a fact, Mr. Rothschild, that you have access to secret and confidential material? Answer, yes. Up until today? Answer, up until this moment, Mr. Senator. Question, are you a member of the Communist Party as of this moment? Answer, under the Fifth Amendment, I decline to answer. Question, did you ever steal a secret code book from the government printing office? Answer, again, a refusal to answer under the Fifth Amendment. Question, were you engaged in espionage against the United States on August 9, 1953?
Answer. All right, one more segment, folks, right after the top of the hour break. Stay tuned. The best is yet to come, as well as your calls. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.